Luke chapter 17, chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because it was nigh to Jerusalem, because he thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. The subject is occupy till I come. The mandate, part 3. We want to understand another dimension of occupy till I come. First of all, that is another dimension of occupying till he comes. And then we shall understand the assignment to be occupied with. That might slip into tomorrow. That is, I have been walking, I have been saving the lost, I have been doing so many things, but I need to go get a kingdom. While I go, because I need to leave, I need to leave to prepare a place, I need to leave to prepare a kingdom. While I go, occupy till I come. What is the meaning of this? One, it says, occupy my space. Occupy my space till I come. I was busy. I was at work, but I need to go. Fill my space till I come. It means, number two, fill the vacuum that my exit will create. Pastor, minister, child of God, daughter of God, my exit will create a vacuum. Fill the vacuum that my exit will create. I remember a story I heard some time ago of a man who was a drunkard and had been delivered from chronic drunkenness through the ministry of A.A. Allen. And many years after Allen had died and gone, this man found himself in drunkenness again, and he was looking for deliverance. So he went to someone and he said, many years ago I was a drunkard. I was bound by this spirit, and I was set free by the anointing of God on A.A. Allen. He said, please, is there no such anointing on the earth again? He said, Allen is dead, and I need to be free. Is there no such anointing on the earth again? So Jesus said, When I leave, my exit will create a vacuum. Fill that vacuum in your family, in your community, in your nation, in your generation. Thirdly, it means ensure that no one feels my absence till I come. Let no one feel the absence. Where you work, where you live, where you have come from, whether you are a child of God, you are a church worker, you are a pastor, you are a minister, let no one feel my absence because you are there till I come. What does it mean? Number four, five, carry on the assignment until I come. Oh, carry on the assignment. Carry on the work. Carry on my work. I want to trust you to leave the work in your hands. I want to trust you to leave the assignment in your hands. I want to trust you to leave your nation in your hands. I want to trust you to leave your community in your hands. I want to trust you to leave the business world in your hands. I want to trust you to leave the political world in your hands. Carry on the assignment that I left till I come. What does it mean? Number five, step into my shoes till I come. Oh, this assignment, this charge is getting more intense. Step into my shoes. My shoes are not too big for you. I once told you that the works that I do, shall you do. And greater works than this shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. I am living now in your family. Step into my shoes. In your nation, step into my shoes. In your generation, step into my shoes. What will I do where you are? If I was there, do it. I pray that someone here today will come to the point where this thing will do something in your mind. It will do something in your heart. It will do something in your spirit. So if you are a pastor, you are not just a title carrier. If you are a pastor, you are not just a speaker, someone who is just speaking. You are stepping into the shoes of the master. What does it mean, number six? Are you ready? Occupy till I come means six, represent me till I come. Represent me till I come. Represent me to your generation till I come. Represent me 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 till I come. Number seven, it means reproduce my results. Till I come. Reproduce my results till I come. Reproduce my results till I come. I want to count on you. I want to depend on you. Reproduce my results till I come. Reproduce my results till I come. Reproduce my results as a pastor, as a teacher, as a minister of the gospel. Reproduce my results till I come. What does it mean? Occupy till I come. It means number eight. Let Your appearance signify my appearance till I come. When you appear, I don't need to appear till I come. When you are there, I don't need to be there till I come. I believe that if I stop here tonight, it is something to go and think about. Let your appearance equal my appearance. Someone say, how can you talk like that? We'll see some things very soon. Let your appearance represent my appearance till I come. What number was that? Number 9. Act on my behalf till I come. Act on my behalf till I come. Take actions that are actions on my behalf. Actions on my behalf that I will validate, that I will stamp, that I will say, this man did not act by himself. He did not act for him. In Germany, in Switzerland, in Dubai, in Netherlands, act on my behalf. In France, act on my behalf till I come. Act on my behalf. I want you to get the boldness, to get the authority, to get the audacity. I want you to get the mentality of acting on my behalf till I come. Act on my behalf till I come. Look at your neighbor, say, act on his behalf till he comes. If you understand what I'm talking about, God will not need two of you in Angola. And if he has two of you in Cameroon, then he overruns the nation. Because there was one Jesus that moved through the earth, that walked through the earth, that turned the world upside down. And he's saying, occupy till I come. Act on my behalf till I come. Number 10 is almost like number 9. Speak for me till I come. Speak for me. Speak on my behalf. Let me speak. Let me use your mouth to speak till I come. Speak for me. That is, God says, I want to bring my people to a point where if they are there, I don't need to be there. I want to bring you to a point where your being there is equal to my being there. I saw some things from the scripture that just shook me. I'll give you 4 examples of where God and human beings acted together. Where it was like, it was God who wanted to move and act, then man acted on his behalf. And it was equal in the same unction and power. Number 1, Moses. Moses was one who stepped in the place and acted for God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, all the way to verse 10, God said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And me, Jehovah, I have come down. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land, onto a good land and a large, onto a land flowing with milk and honey, onto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel. You will stop in verse 9. Behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. I was looking to see God say, so I am moving now to go and meet Pharaoh. only for me to hear in verse 10. He said, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. I thought you say you came down. He said, yes. My coming down is through Moses. My coming down, the coming down of God into territories is through available and usable human vessels. The coming down of God unto nations, the coming, the visitation of God on nations, the visitation of God on territories, the visitation of God on communities is through the instrumentality of available and usable human beings. There are people here today that God is about to pass through. When you appear in your village, they don't need to look for God extra because he came in through you. When you appear in your nation, they are not looking far to look for God because he came in through you. When you appear in your community, they are not going to look very far because he came in through you. Somebody believe that, shout yes! The way we see some people, they are full of demons. They're so demonized. In this end time, we are going to see people who are so divinized. Divinized. Overwhelmed. Filled up with divinity until they say the gods are come to us in the likeness of men. As if God wanted to emphasize the fact that he is doing something unusual through Moses. In Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, he said, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. You are no longer a normal person. You are a supernatural divine personality. I made you a God unto Pharaoh, and you now have a prophet. The way I am your God and you are my prophet, in the same manner you are now Pharaoh's God and Aaron has become your prophet. Stop looking at yourself as just that regular person. Yes, you need it for the purpose of humility. But God is bringing us to a point. He's bringing us to a point. He's bringing us to a point where we'll begin to act on the behalf of God. What he wanted to do, he said, go ahead and get it done. If you are there, I don't need to be there. If you are there, I don't need to be there. I am passing through you to rout the foundations of altars and deities in your community. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. If all that happens tonight is that God will find you like Moses, when you say, come, I want to send you to, come, you say, I'm about to visit Togo. And I want to do unusual things in Togo. And you say, Lord, when are you coming? He say, you are the coming. You are the one that is the coming. You are the one. You are the one that is going. I want to visit Kenya. I want to visit your community. And you are saying, Lord, when are you coming? He say, it is you that is stepping there. I am stepping there using your legs. I am stepping there using your voice. I want to visit the business world in Nigeria. I want to visit the realm of the industry. Well, who are you sending? Say, you are the one. Do you understand? When he says, so, when he said, occupy till I come, what he says, replace me. I am your God. But I want you to step into a realm where you function like I function. Where you function on my behalf. Hey! Bishop Philly is here tonight, right? From Botswana. When we got to Botswana and arrived in Botswana, where is Bishop Philly? Right, that's right. We arrived in Botswana. They received us very, very well. And then we were received on our way. That was my first time in Botswana, the first and only time. And I saw desert. I didn't know Botswana was in the middle of a desert, Kalahari Desert. The other desert in Africa, the Southern Africa Desert, Sahara Desert is in the north. This was in Southern Africa. Everywhere was dry. As soon as we came, the mayor of Habaroni was in the meeting at the night. Other mayors were there, people. And the first thing he said, "Man of God, you have come to our nation. There is no rain. The land is in need of rain. No rain. Will you please pray and ask God, let rain come in Botswana?" And I said to them, "That's right." And I said to them, "The rain will come. But that rain will come after we have left." Because I didn't want to prophesy rain to fall and then we couldn't do the crusade because of the rain. The field was dry. Everything was dry. Then we went to Francis. We went to Francis Town. And then the mayor, two mayors were there again with the previous chief judge, Justice Musajani, right? He was there also in that. And they still asked for the rain. And we declared, rain shall fall once we leave here. We left on Saturday morning. Less than 24 hours later, 48 hours later, by Monday, the rain fell. But the rain did not, that's the prayer we are praying right there. The rain became a flood. It was carrying vehicles, carrying people in a desert. Let me show you more clip of the rain. Those were cars inside the land in a desert that was asking for rain. They were only asking for rain. And then they got a flood. You see the rain carrying somebody just now that they went to harvest. Are you still showing us that rain? So when they showed the clip and they called me from there, someone called me from Francis Town. He said, "We didn't ask for a flood. We are not asking for a flood." He said, "People are not going to work anymore. Schools are closed. The rain has become dangerous. We didn't ask for a flood. We're having a crusade in New York then." I think Reverend Nuntia was there. We're in New York crusade. When they brought us that information that it has become a flood. So I said, "Let us see the clip of the declaration." When we saw the clip of the declaration, that was where the mistake came. I said, "Father, give them rain upon rain upon rain. Rain upon rain upon rain upon rain." I said, "We over prophesied. We over prophesied. We over prophesied it." So we said, "Lord, not rain upon rain again. Just rain. Good rain." The flood dried. The land returned back to normal. Do you understand what I'm talking about? As far as that mayor was concerned, if we came to the land, we should come with the solution. God, if we are messengers of God and we arrived in that territory, we should arrive with a solution. Hear me, beloved brothers and sisters. I speak to someone here. We are about to take nations for Jesus. We are about to take territories for Jesus. We are about to take industries for Jesus. We are about to take communities for Jesus. And God is going to send you with his voice. And when you have spoken, God did not need to speak anymore. Occupy. Act on my behalf. Put forth my actions until I come. Speak on my behalf. That was my second example, Elijah. You know what Elijah said? Please take your seat. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah said, and Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, he said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to whose word? My word. Many of us would have thought, what arrogance. How can a human being say according to his word? If we had said, for the spiritual religious mind, what we were expecting to hear is that there shall be no rain and there shall be no dew except God speaks, except by the word of the Lord. No, he said, except by my word. You know what he said? You know what he did? You know, first and foremost, he said, before God, whom I stand. So even this statement I am making is from his front. I am not speaking from my bedroom. I am not speaking from the corner. I am speaking from the frontage of the God who sent me. And I am right in front of him, speaking on his behalf. I have come to the point where God has permitted me, to the point where my voice has become his voice. Somebody is coming there. Somebody is stepping there. Let me think like you. Let me act like you. Let me live like you. That's what the choir just sang. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Where your voice, demonic principalities and powers will respect your voice as they respect his voice. Where you are fully occupying for him. You are occupying your territory, occupying your nation, occupying your community. You are acting on his behalf and you are speaking on his behalf. Somebody say amen. Amen. Anybody ready to get to that level? Now, I wonder why we will have the problem in the New Testament to act on the behalf of God and speak with his voice, which was almost a normal realm in the Old Testament. Elijah walked like that. Moses walked like that. Now let me show you David. Take your seat. Many times you read the book of Psalms and you are wondering who is talking. So let's go to Psalm 91 and you'll hear Psalm 91. All right, Psalm 91, placed on the screen, and let's read it from verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. David is speaking. Anyone who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, if God was directly talking, he would say, anyone who dwells in my secret place will dwell in my shadow. David is talking. He said, I will say of the Lord, I'm talking, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Then he began to talk to any other third person. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from this noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, just the way he's doing to me. And under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. David is talking, and he's talking to a third person. 1,000 shall fall at your right side, and 10,000, but he's speaking by inspiration, all right? And at the right hand, but he shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, look at, this is the one that shakes me the most. Now, he said, because you have made the Lord, which is my own refuge. I am talking to you. Since you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, your habitation. Keep going. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he, God, will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands in case you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. David was still talking, but there is a switch now. God is speaking through the mouth of David in this verse, because he has set his love on me. One man started speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and then switched until God began to speak through the same mouth. Because he has set his love. David couldn't have been telling you, set your love on David. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It looks like God was saying, David, all the things you said are true, but let me further confirm it to the man. Because he set his love on me. You have spoken by inspiration on my behalf. Now speak like you are me. Because you have... I will deliver him. I want us to come to the point where God will help you to just switch. Are you hearing what I am saying here before? You were functioning normally like yourself. All of a sudden you switched into a realm where God began to move by himself and began to function through you, and he takes over. When I understand the spirit of faith, the gift of healing, miracles, signs and wonders, there is a realm of the spirit of faith where you are actually watching what is going on. And if you watch the clip later on, you are fully aware that you are not at work. That something else, like that girl that just kicked that wheelchair, you are fully aware that something else is working. That was the kind of switching, that is the kind of flexibility God is looking for with us, where you can start off by yourself, but the time comes when God steps in and takes over. Are you hearing what I am saying here today? You can start off by yourself, but you step into a realm where God takes over. I believe somebody is coming to the point where you will begin to speak on the behalf of God. You will begin to act on behalf of God. God will begin to speak in your voice. Will begin to speak through your voice. He will begin to act through your life and your body. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Take your seat. I've mentioned Moses, but there is another way, place where God and Moses were talking together. Exodus 23:25-26. He said, Israel, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Moses stopped talking. Then God takes over, and I will take sickness. Somebody say switch. It's not Moses that will take away sickness. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. And he is talking about God. He's admonishing. He shall bless your bread and your water. And I now will take away sickness from the midst of you. I will take away sickness. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. Somebody say switch. Somebody say switch. Somebody say, Father, I am available. Walk through me. Speak through me. Act through me. Move through me. I am available. Oh Lord, help me, Lord, to represent you in my generation. Help me, Lord, to be your voice, to be your mouth. Help me, Lord. Somebody say loud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. That must have been the kind of mystery. Please take your seat. That Eli experienced and Samuel. When Samuel thought he was hearing the voice of Eli, and it was the voice of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 6 to verse 9, Eli. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou called me. And he answered, I called thee not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child, and he said, when he calls you again, tell him, speak thy servant here. How many of you know that if the voice of God was obvious, there was no way Samuel would run to Eli?
Samuel, Samuel, like thunder, Samuel.
So you look up at heaven, who is it, please? But he was hearing a voice he was familiar with. Samuel, Samuel. Oh, yes, sir. I just said you call me now. Oh, no, no, no. I didn't call you. Went back again. Samuel, Samuel. That's Eli. That's my master. I was born to hear this voice. He ran again. Sir, you called the second time. No, no, no. No. I'm not the one calling you. Samuel, many of us missed God's voice because we're waiting for a buzz from heaven. We're waiting for a thunder from heaven. We're waiting for a buzz. The voice appeared too normal. It appeared too familiar. It appears too simple. It didn't appear too spectacular or too extraordinary. So you never heard it. But from this moment, you will not miss it another time. Repeated the third time, Samuel, Samuel, not
Samuel,
Samuel, Samuel, yes, sir. Oh, okay. I think God is calling the boy. If he calls again, tell, speak thy servant ears. The meaning of that to you is you don't need complexity, you need simplicity to walk and move with God, and God will use human voices at times to communicate his direction. And God will use your own voice. He is looking forward to using your own voice to change someone or something in your generation. He's looking forward to speaking even in your own voice. But the most critical thing to understand is that God will use the voice of your father, the voice of your pastor, the voice of your mentor, either the voice or their faces once in a while to communicate direction in a dream, in the revelation. There are people standing here. If I should call out, how many? There are those who have heard physical audible voices. Huh? God spoke using the voice of this prophet, this pastor, this apostle. Somebody's at the junction. Move from here now. And he heard, just heard. And an accident just came and just. Somebody lift your hands and say, Father, I want to speak on your behalf. I want to speak with your voice. I am available. Send me to my generation with your voice. Anytime, say it, anytime you want to take over, you want to switch it to yourself, feel free, sir. Take your seat, and maybe I'll round off here because of time. In Luke chapter 10 verse 16, this whole thing became summarized when Jesus said, he that heareth you, heareth me. I want to bring you to a point where people start hearing you, and it is my voice they are hearing. He that despiseth me, despiseth you, despiseth me. The emphasis is, occupy till I come. Speak on my behalf until I come. Act on my behalf until I come. Function on my behalf until I come. So that people begin to hear you. Hear me when they hear you. Pastor Joseph, he was with me. Do you remember the year? 2000. The year 2000. He was with me in the year 2000. They brought a man, that's 26 years ago. They brought a young man. His hands were chained. 4 padlocks. Raving mad, crazy. His mother held him. 4 men held him, they couldn't hold him. I just stepped out of my office, passing through the church. They were inside the church. I looked at them. They were struggling to hold him. I said, leave him. They looked at each other. This is 26 years ago. Leave who? Someone that 4 people can't hold? I said, leave him. They looked at each other like, if he descends on us, the man is here also, he would descend on all of us. So they left him. Next instruction, lose him. What do you mean? Unlock the key. Unwind the chain. What? Unwind the chain. They looked again. All right. Key number 1, open. 2, 3, 4. They unwound the chain like that. And the hand was bleeding. And I said to him, I'm sorry, sorry. You know what he said? Thank you, sir. Wow. Raving madman. That was the first. Thank you, sir. He adjusted his cloth. I said, go on your knees. He went on his knees. Lift up your hands. He lifted up his hands. I said, say after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, led him to Christ. Forgive me my sins. Forgive my sins. Then said, I cannot be mad. I can't be mad. I am free. I'm free. Then I said, in Jesus' name, be free. Stand up. Mother, hold your son. Bye. And I went, everything was 5 minutes at the most. Everything, the whole operation. Our pastor now, tiptoeing behind me. Say, excuse me, sir. What just happened? What just happened? He said, because you didn't pray. You just said, leave him. You didn't pray. Then you say, lose him. What happened? I said, when I left the office, before I left the office and came out, I saw a scripture. The scripture I just showed you. Luke 10:16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth me, he that despiseth you, despiseth me. I said, when I read that scripture, this was what I understood. Any devil that will hear me will hear you. Any devil that cannot say no to me cannot say no to you. That's right. That's my translation there. Any devil that will hear me will hear you. Any devil that cannot say no to me cannot say no to you. Any devil that cannot despise me cannot despise you. My voice is in your voice. That was the light I stepped out with. That was the revelation. So when I said, lose him, the devil heard Jesus. When I said, leave him, the devil heard Jesus. When I said, lose him, the devil heard Jesus. When I said, you are free, go. And no devil could stand and say, who is talking?
Stand up on your feet, people. And light is reflected. Whenever you get light, the result of light is instant. I got that light, and the result of it was instant. And too bad for the devil. I just saw the passage. I just did theory. Then practical appeared. 26 years ago. 26 years ago. I just did the theory. I just looked at it and God appeared to be saying, let me bring you the practical. Practice what you just saw. Practice what you just heard. Practice what you just thought. Hey! Practicalize what you just saw. Practice the light, the insight on this devil. On this devil. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. If that devil... Can you imagine? Jesus said to any devil, come out. And he said, I'm not coming out. No way. I was charged. Charged. I was very happy when I saw that devil. Because I just saw something that could not be resisted. Beloved brothers and sisters, I have more to say tonight. But I'm going to stop here. And I want you to finally conclude that you as a person, Jesus wants to take you to represent him. So, your heart, he wants to love through it. He wants his love to be expressed through that heart. He wants your hand to become hands of compassion, hands of healing. He wants to take your voice and speak through that voice and let the powers of hell hear that voice. He wants to move your feet so that when you step back to the country where you came from, you will go where others won't go. The same way he went everywhere. He stepped everywhere. He stepped to the corners. He stepped. Do you know what we'll do? My wife and I will come back from Chicago, come back from New York, come back from Maryland, come back from France, and go to places where even vehicles can't go. For rural crusade, for interior hinterland crusade. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He wants to take that leg and move you. Last year we went to Pakistan. For the second day in Pakistan, we couldn't go out to preach because we were told that they couldn't guarantee the security and that we should remain indoors. The first night overflooded. So both the safety and the security could not be guaranteed. One, we are not sure of security. Number two, the crowd may stampede. No space. You were there. No space for the crowd. So the shift, look at that. That was Pakistan. All right. After we now stepped out and went to the airport, when we arrived in Pakistan, as we are landing, I told my wife, I said, do you know where you are? This is Pakistan. Boundary with Afghanistan. Boundary with Iran. You see, and you brought me here. He said, is this where you brought me to? I said, yes, this is where I brought you. We are going back safe. And we landed. Despite how it was, we returned back to Nigeria. And the following year, scheduled not one crusade now, but three crusades in three different cities of the same country. Where you couldn't go out because of security the other time. Now you want to not just go out, but go to from here and then move to a second city and then move to a third city. Within 1 week, the only thing that stopped us was Iran war and America. Airspace was closed. We were ready to move. I want to touch your leg. Occupy. I went to the seaside. I went to Galilee. I went to Nazareth. I went to Capernaum. I went to the temple. I went beyond the temple. I want your feet to become my feet so that you can go to the places I would go, and you go where others cannot go. You go where others are not willing to go. You go where others cannot dare to go. I want your hand to be my hand. I want that hand to be a compassionate hand. I want that hand to be a healing hand. I want my voice, your voice, to be my voice. I want unction to flow. I want the kind of authority that I speak and devils hear to come through your mouth. I want the kind of consolation I bring to people to come through your mouth. I want your eyes to be my eyes. The eyes I used to weep over Jerusalem, that I can see the need of Jerusalem. I want your eyes to become my eyes. The reason why there is so much impactlessness in our generation is that we have a lot of pastors and ministers and children of God that have eyes, but they see nothing. They have eyes, they see nothing. They feel nothing. They are moved about nothing. Nothing. No burden. No burden. They feel nothing. When we stand on this altar, we are raging. Talking about terrorism and talking about the poverty situation of the land. In the name of Jesus, we declare every attack in the northeast at the Bayou area, we declare it arrested right now. We declare that angels will be deployed there and declare scatter agents of darkness in the name of Jesus. Why do we stand to speak? The body, when you open your eyes and you see. You see, when I go to Europe and I see everything is civilized, everything is developed, everything seems to be working, but these are a godless people heading for a godless eternity. The same people that brought us the gospel. This is not our traditional wear, this that I'm wearing now. This is not our traditional wear. Our traditional wear is to tie a wrapper and to wear something on top. They taught us, they cultured us, both with the gospel and culture. What I'm wearing now is not our native wear. They brought us all of this and then departed from me so far, going to the point where they are almost defending Satan now. The same people whose fathers, Martin Luther, John Wesley, and all of these people, brought us the gospel. They are now at the verge of hatred of God. And look at, my heart fills with compassion. If they are not good people, their fathers were very good to us. Their fathers came when nobody will come to Africa. They brought the gospel to us. They brought us the Bible. Wittenberg Press in Germany was used to translate the Bible for the first time from the original translations to Latin Vulgate and then move to where we can read it. King James gave us the new King James version of the Bible, was the King of England. All the things we are celebrating today came from there, and these are now a godless people. Look at them. Most people, when I travel to some of these places, they said, you are in Panama. Will you go and see Panama Canal? I said, that's not why I came here. I don't have the time. Go to France. Let's go to Eiffel Tower. I didn't go. I've passed around there before. But we came here for business. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I want us to surrender your eyes. Jesus, the kind of things you will see with your eyes that will break your heart, that will fill you with a cry, with tears. Help my eyes to see such. The kind of things that weigh in your heart, let it begin to weigh in my heart. Use my hands as healing hands. Use my feet to carry out actions that you would carry out if you are here. Tomorrow we shall be looking at his actions that we are meant to continue with. But for tonight, would you like to surrender yourself to Jesus? I am available. I want to speak for you. I want to act on your behalf. I want to speak on your behalf. I want to move on your behalf. I want to take steps on your behalf. I am available, Lord. I am available, Lord. I want to speak on your behalf. I want to act on your behalf. Take my legs and use them. Take my eyes and use them. Take my ears and use them. Let me hear the cries that you hear. Let me see the concerns that you see. Let me feel the burdens that you feel. I am available, Lord. Open your mouth and pray. Speak to God.
are going to pray tonight. You are outrightly in need of surrender to Jesus. Forgiveness for your sins. You have lived in a way you know God is not happy with. I'd like you to pick your Bibles and your bags and quickly rush to the front here. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags. That's the first call we are going to make.
On me, on me, on me.
I'll give you the count of 10.
Use me.
One.
On me, on me.
Forgiveness, in need of surrender. You need today to mark a new day for you. Don't sit on your seat. You are bound by an addiction that needs to be broken. A negative lifestyle that needs to be broken. Quickly, rush to the front here. Addictions, pornography, tobacco, smoking, drinking, marijuana, anything like that, that you want God to break from your life.
Give you the praise.
Place your hand on your chest, those of you in the front here, and pray this prayer after me. Say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. It's a new day for you. Help from above be released upon you. In Jesus' name.